This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock. Brought to you by West Escondido, West Oceanside, West El Cajon, West Kearny Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. And now, here's your host of Auto Talk Radio, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, here we are back at it again. What was that?
I got my coffee, as you can see.
Oh, you had coffee this morning. Look at that.
Yes.
Doing well?
Oh, extremely well. How are you doing today, Brian?
Another day in paradise, my friend. I got my coffee too.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, yours is cold. Mine's hot.
Yeah. For the mornings, I like to do the iced coffees because they get me straight up with the sugar that's already in there. So
straight up with the sugar. And a little caffeine, too?
Caffeine, yes.
Oh, there you go. That's probably what you're looking for there, the caffeine.
Probably more, yeah.
Probably more.
All there is just sugar-free syrup and the coffee itself.
Yeah, they keep telling you it's sugar-free.
It's not?
I'm probably lying to you.
Dang it.
Anyway, how's little Rusty doing?
He is doing fantastic. We just moved into a brand new apartment.
Oh, you did?
Yep, literally this past Thursday. So
moved to a bigger place?
It is a bigger place. He has his own bedroom, his own bathroom. It is really, really nice. We're getting really acquainted. We're almost done moving in.
Did you stay in the same place and just move to another apartment? Or
No. Completely different apartment complex because the other complex wanted to charge us an extra... for the same exact thing, two bedroom, two bathrooms, it was going to be $1,400 more
than what
this place was. So,
oh, there you go.
Save where you can.
All right. Save where you can. Yeah. Get little Rusty his own bathroom. There you go. It's all good stuff. All right, folks. Now you're up to speed on what Rusty's doing and Brendan and his wife. They all moved now to a newer place. Good thing their cars were running well because they were able to truck all their stuff over to the new house. It's all good. I only say that because I saw Brendan, he was in, had his cars in for service at the El Cajon location within the past couple weeks. So I know he's getting all ready for his move, and he got it done, and it's all handled. But give us a call here this morning as we are talking about, hey, fix that car or trade it in, you know, with proper care. How long can your vehicle last? And quite a long time, to be honest with you. So, but we're chatting about that or anything else automotive related. But you can give us a call here at 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, and we're here to chat with you about it. And just good stuff. Talking all things automotive today for sure. So, I was as far as automotive stuff, I was one of my techs up in Escondido, we're doing a 6.4 diesel motor on a Ford. And for those, you have to unbolt the cab and you raise the cab up off the chassis. That's the only way, really, to get that motor out of there, to be honest with you, as far as that goes. So one of the cab bolts broke off in the cab. It seized and broke off. So that'll be fun getting that out of there. That's some of the fun automotive stuff that you get to do sometimes, as far as that goes. But so when I say pull the cab off this thing, when you're doing a motor on these Ford trucks and some other trucks like that, we unbolt the whole passenger cab and the everything, and it comes, we lift it then on the hoist, and it comes right up off the chassis. So therefore you have full access. It's just like the chassis sitting there with the motor, and it makes it way easier to get the motor out, unbolt everything, put it back in, all that. And you set the chassis back down, or the cab back down on the chassis, and bolt everything back in place, and it's good to go. So it's the best way to get her done, so as far as that goes. But good stuff there. You ever seen that done, Brendan? Nope.
And unfortunately,
what's that? You're breaking up. Your mic doesn't work properly.
Sorry about that.
Stop messing with that
thing. I will. I wasn't able to listen to the story there because I was on the phone. I literally just got off with them. What was your story there?
Oh, we're putting a motor in a 6.4 liter Ford diesel pickup truck, and to do so, you unbolt the the cab and lift it off the chassis so the motor's just sitting there in the frame.
Gotcha. Okay. Is this a Jesper motor? I think it's what it's called. The one that was made in Indiana.
I don't know either the factory Ford or a Jasper.
Jasper.
Yeah. The people that live in Jasper, Indiana would not be happy that you butchered their name.
I'm getting angry calls already from Jesper or Jasper.
Jasperins.
Jasperins.
Jasperins are calling. Anyway. Yeah. So, what I was talking about is one of the cab bolts broke off in the cab mount, unfortunately.
Ooh.
Yeah. So what happens though sometimes is when they come from other places that the bolts get corroded and seized in there, and then when you go to try to take them out, dink, they break off. So that will turn into a drilling fun process right there.
Right.
So, but it's one of those things you have to deal with in the automotive field when you're doing those kind of jobs. So there you have it. There you have it. This morning we're chatting about how far can you drive your vehicle, Brendan?
I mean, you could drive as far as it can take you, I guess. Then when you start hearing the clinking and clunking, you're probably best to just pull over.
You could probably get further if you take care of it and maintain it properly, though.
So true.
Versus just driving it right into the ground, which we do see some people do with vehicles sometimes. So just one of those things, you know. But that's what we're kind of talking about today, how far you can get with the vehicle, how much money you can save. As most of you are well know, the last truck I had, I drove 400,000 miles. That was quite a few trips around the earth there. But that truck lasted me well. I didn't have any major issues with it, but I also serviced the heck out of that thing to keep it running and keep it. Last thing I wanted to do was break down somewhere. That's never any fun. So by keeping the vehicle in good running order and make sure it's serviced properly and you do all the inspections when you should and all that and fix the things that have become a minor issues, you don't end up with any major issues, which keeps you on the road and also keeps that motor running good. So such as things like fixing oil leaks so you don't run out of oil. That's a great thing, huh, Brendan?
That's for sure.
Nobody wants to run out of oil, do they?
No one. No,
definitely do not. So all good stuff, just staying on top of it and keeping in good order. We're talking about. So real quick, let's see. Let's grab Bodie. He's on the line. He's got a question, he says. Good morning, Bodie.
Good morning, Bodie.
Sir. What's happening?
Well, I'm staying alive and well. I'm healthy. I have a Prelude. I mean, my Acura, 96 Acura.
Uh-huh.
286,000 miles. Purrs like a kitten.
Barely broken.
So, on my SUV, the Nissan.
Yes.
What would be the proper time? I may have asked you again. I always warm the car up.
Uh-huh.
What, 3-4 minutes before I drive?
Okay.
Is that enough?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Today's vehicles warm up rather quickly. You don't have to really, you know, back in the day, and the reason we used to warm cars up back in the day is they were all carbureted. Carbureted cars don't run well when they're cold. So you start it up, let it warm. Today's vehicles, fuel injected, electronically controlled, controls fuel control and all that, they run like a dream cold. They run like a dream at operating temperature. So, you know, you don't have to wait long. You start her up, get the oil flowing for a second there, and then you're on your way.
And you make sure I got plenty of coffee in me.
Yeah, make sure you got plenty of coffee. Yeah. like Brendan, you got to drink your sugar-free hot or cold latte, whatever he's drinking over there. Who knows?
It was a nice coffee, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, in the old days it was coffee. Now you got 5 or 6 adjectives. I want a mocha latte, a vanilla venti.
Exactly.
Well, you think Starbucks was in the selling the Italian English dictionaries?
Yeah, they've come up with a lot of things, and you can do a triple shot, a quadruple shot. You can get all your caffeine in one drink if you want for the day.
And you can order in Italian in America, and they know what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What a world, huh?
Yes. Well, you know, there. If you ever see on the internet, there's a clip, and I believe it's from a movie where he's talking about, I want a large coffee. And she's like, you want a venti. Well, venti doesn't mean large. So he goes through this whole thing. And in the end, he's like, congratulations, you're non-smart in three different languages. So it's a funny clip. I mean, it has to do with coffee and the way that we name things here in the States, obviously. So they don't mean that we don't actually use the word in the right meaning sometimes.
Yeah, venti means 20.
Yeah, venti means 20. He says that too in the clip. So anyway.
Yeah.
All good.
I just read where the world drinks like 2 billion cups of coffee a day.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all. That doesn't surprise me at all. I drink half of those. It's all good. Go ahead.
Make sure you drink plenty of water during the day.
Oh yes, absolutely, without question. Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
Got to stay well hydrated.
Yeah. Okay, we're good for now. Ask Brendan to keep me on.
Will do. Great to talk to you, my friend. Have a great morning. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks for being there. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye. So always good to hear from Bodie and see what he's up to as far as that goes. All right, folks, give us a call, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take our first break here. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 and 96.1 FM in North County. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, here we are back talking about cars and things like that. So let's do it. You like cars?
Oh, yes, very much so. It's been the most interesting week for cars, I have to say. You came when you came back for your live show, it's definitely been the most interesting week for sure. For cars in general, I mean.
This week's been very interesting for cars in general? Okay.
Yes, I have to say so.
What you got for me?
Well, if you want, I'll tell you right after the ad read because I'm still gathering information left and right because it's been a crazy week in cars for sure.
All right. It just cars in general or car shows you're going to?
Car shows as well, too. It's a really busy weekend, actually.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely some tariff news, too.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So and parts tariffs are now in effect. They work.
That's right. I was about to tell you about that, but it's okay. You can go ahead and
do what I'm supposed to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Brandon's all, do what you're supposed to. All right, we will do so. All right, folks, do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido, AAA approved and STAR certified, taking care of folks up there in North County Inland for well over 32 years. And West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon, out there in East County, taking care of folks, AAA approved for well over 12 years. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right there in Central San Diego. AAA approved and Smog certified, taking care of folks right there for well over 8 years now. And, of course, West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall. AAA approved and the STAR certified, taking care of folks over there for over 6 years now. And last but not least, West Miramar is there right across the road from us here in the Golden Triangle, as we say. And West Oceanside Automotive Transmission, 229 South Coast Highway, AAA approved up in North County Coastal. Matter of fact, me and Brendan often talk about it. You can see the ocean from the parking lot.
Beautiful.
Makes Brendan want to become a surfer. That's what he told me.
Yeah.
All of us at the West Automotive, if you go too far west, you end up in the water, then you passed us.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. All of us, the West Automotive Group, me, myself, and employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio as we believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Stop in and have your vehicle serviced, repaired, and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on approved credit. ask one of my managers, service consultants helping you. They'll get you all set up with a West Automotive Group card. And like I said, gives you 6 months, no interest. Great way to go. And that way you don't have to, you won't have to pay interest on your car repair. So 6 months, you can get most car repairs paid off pretty easily that way. And just as if you paid cash. Stop in and have your vehicle serviced or repaired and find out what Quality Automotive Service Repair is all about for sure. That's, you know, we take advantage of our diagnosis that we do. One of the things you always hear me talk about is the best money ever spent on any repair is the money you spend on diagnosing the vehicle with a qualified technician at a quality facility. We'll save you thousands of dollars in a lifetime. We see so many cars that are misdiagnosed and parts thrown at them. It's just a waste of money. So don't fall for that. Don't end up with those issues and get your vehicle in and we'll get it diagnosed, whether it be a transmission concern, cooling system concern, check engine light drivability concern, brake concern, whatever it is, let's get it diagnosed properly. That is the start and the most important part of any repair, like I state. And that way you can get it fixed or at least get the information from there what it's going to take to fix it, which is certainly important. We also offer free shuttle rides to or from work or home. And work with our rental partners nearby each location for low-cost rental vehicles at all five locations. Go to westautomotivegroup.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We send out little, I guess it's not Twitter anymore now, it's called X, but Facebook, X, or Instagram. And we send out different little things and to contact you and let you know about cool stuff going on. Some of it's automotive-related. Actually, most of it's automotive related until we get to the holidays, and then it's Brendan's favorite thing because the pie recipes come out.
Delicious.
Delicious. Anyway, all good. While you're on westautomotivegroup.com, you can also click on the Automan segments or Auto Talk Radio on the Automan for the CW and Fox 5. And we've also been doing some Fox 5 local stuff lately with them. So some good stuff. If you can catch those, jump out there and do so. You can also email me anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com, or if you want to grab our show here on the go, podcasts are available after they're done being done live through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Spotify, iHeart, Radio.com, and TuneIn, all there for your listening pleasure. But give us a call now with all your automotive related questions or topics at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Or if you have something you want me to talk about, do a show on specifically, you can always email me at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com, and I'll be happy to work on that and slide it into a show if you got some questions and you don't want to call in. So all good stuff, right, Brendan?
That's absolutely right. I love your content that you always keep putting out a lot, and it's always quite interesting. I still love the story of you telling how there's producers behind the camera with your Automan segments that you put up. The producer was so enticed into your topic that they'll realize, great, now I got to reshoot it because we went 30 seconds over.
Exactly. I just keep talking and she's standing there watching.
You can't help it. It's really interesting stuff that you talk about constantly. So, you know.
Yep. Well, cars, there's so many different things to talk about with cars,
true.
You know.
So true.
There's, you know, between repairs and everything else going on. So, all good. All right. What did you dig up?
All right. So, do you want to do car shows first or car news first?
Which car news. What great news do we have today?
So, obviously, the tariffs on parts are hitting today as we speak.
Yep.
The other thing, did you hear about...
This 25% duty, unless they come from Canada or Mexico.
Yes.
Those two countries, they're not doing it on. Every place else, car parts that come from, there's a 25% tariff. There
right.
We go.
Right. So that's not going to affect you. Well, it is going to affect certain dealerships for sure. But is it going to affect independent?
Really who it affects. I mean, the price changes on just like anything. So the price goes up on the part. It's just going to cost more to get the part and you know, it's going to cost the consumer more to have the part put on their car.
Right.
Not labor-wise, but part-wise.
True. Yeah. Did you hear that California is looking to ban their gasoline, or ban the federal thing about, every electric vehicle by 2035?
That was a California law that Slickback here signed in.
But
they're going to get rid of it?
Yep, the House has already passed by a score by a vote of 246 to 164 to roll back the Environmental Protection Agency authorization issued under former President Joe Biden, which let California enact emission standards even stricter than the U.S. government's requirements to increase sales of electric or other zero-emission vehicles. 35 Democrats joined with the Republicans to vote in the favor of the measure. The Senate now has until mid-May to vote on the California waivers, though that may require overriding a decision by the Senate Palmerterian, the legislative body's chief rule keeper, first. On the bright side, it has passed one branch of the legislative area, which
is. Do you remember what I said a long time ago about when they signed that law in? Remember what I said? That's not going to last. It's going to go. There's no way. We can't even do that. It's not feasible.
Now, this is specifically on the cars, right?
Yes.
Only.
Yeah.
So are they still trying to push for, as well, the other stuff that we talked about? Would it be like the weed whackers, the lawnmowers and stuff?
I don't know on that. I don't follow that. Although, I will be honest with you. Those things, I don't think you should ban gas weed whackers or gas chainsaws or anything like that. But for the homeowner, having available the electric ones, like I have an electric chainsaw on a stick for pruning trees.
Yeah.
And it works pretty good.
No, it works.
It does, but I'm not out. That wouldn't work good for me if I had to go from house to house to house as like a professional person.
Professional landscapers.
Yeah. How are you going to charge that thing? Keep it charged. It's not going to work. So, the gasoline powered works good for them, but for I think you should have both options as far as that goes. Kind of like we do with electric vehicles.
Exactly.
If you have one electric vehicle at home and you weren't run around town all day with it and it works good for you, that's great. Especially if you have solar and you can charge it for free.
Yeah, we shouldn't be pushing this on people, and again, not having the infrastructure behind it first. So,
correct.
If you really wanted to do this, set up the infrastructure first. And then you could start pushing it.
Why would you do that? That makes sense, Brendan. Why would you do something like that?
I don't know. I thought our government made sense for a second, but maybe not. Next up, Polestar, their EV car has, 20,000 of their cars are getting recalled because of a rear view camera issue. Polestar currently does not take orders for the China-made Polestar 2 in the United States right now. Those are the models that are getting recalled specifically. I'm assuming it's because of the tariffs right now.
What are they getting recalled for?
The Polestar 2 is getting recalled because of rear view camera issues. So specifically, it's doing the whole delaying situation. You can only delay the camera for the minimum of 2 seconds, I think. And it's getting average 6 seconds.
Again. So when you put it in reverse, you got to wait six seconds for the video to come up.
Correct, yes.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
illegal.
Why do you think that has to do with tariffs?
Well, no. Before the recall part, I don't think has to do with the tariff. I think the fact that they said they're stopping sales or taking orders. I'm sorry.
They're taking orders. Of those cars.
Yes, exactly.
For right now until they... Yeah, well...
I'm assuming that's a tariff situation. That's the reason why they're stopping the orders. So.
Could be, but why not just build them and sell them?
Yeah, they have to find a factory over here to deal with too and stuff like that. So, yeah, that might be difficult.
Who's that car made by?
Polestar.
That's actually the name of the car manufacturer?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot that.
And then they literally call their cars Polestar 1, Polestar 2.
Oh, they do?
It's not great names for them, I would say. But
who came up with that?
I don't know. Toyota is partnering up with Waymo, and they're going to co-develop their own self-driving technology for Toyota cars. So they're starting to get into the market now, it sounds like. So far I think it's Tesla, Ford I know is the other one, and there was another company too that are doing the self-driving thing. I still don't trust it totally. When I look at those Waymo I think it's Waymo, it scares me to see that there's no driver in the front. I can't trust it enough at all.
I'd be a little scared too.
Yeah, I saw it all when I was in Phoenix. I saw it everywhere there.
Did it really?
Yeah. It's really, really popular over there. I can't do it here.
People get run over?
I would hope not, but I wouldn't be surprised if I hear stories about that situation happening.
I would think that over there, it's probably because of the fact that they're trying them out. It's wider open. There's less population, less obstacles.
Yeah. And keep in mind, this
who's at fault if you get run over by a self-driving car?
That would be the company that owns it, which is Google.
That would be their fault?
Yeah.
Okay.
And plus, we talked about, I haven't talked about that, but I remember seeing in the news when Google was first testing it, it didn't take, they only went one block before it crashed into a guardrail or something like that when it was starting to drive outside the parking lot.
Really?
To test it out. Yeah. It didn't take long at all. So, but that was years ago. I want to say back in 2012. I know technology changes so quickly over time.
Well, I hope so.
I'm still kind of skeptical on the whole self-driving situation. So Volkswagen has decided to stop U.S. sales on ID buses due to two safety calls having to do with the rear seats being too wide with just two seat belts.
What is the name of that car?
The ID Buzz.
They were selling it here?
Yeah, and it's an electric minivan.
Oh.
Specifically, it's Volkswagen Group of America is selling it. So technically, they're an American manufacturer, I guess you could say.
There you go.
So how did you not test this prior to to releasing the car that your rear seats are too wide for your seat belts to fit in there? Well, who is doing this in this car company?
Well, why? Yeah. How did it get out of the first one, get out of the factory that way?
I'm trying to figure that out. Two other news, or I got one, two, three, four, five news. North Dakota has decided to increase their speed limits on their interstates. It was 75. Now it's up to 80 miles per hour as a speed
limit.
Cool,
like the Autobahn.
Exactly.
If you've ever driven through there, it's wide open. So
I could have sworn that Montana had something like that where during the daytime you could drive as fast as you want.
I don't think so, but I think a lot of them are up around 75 mile an hour. I think so.
Yeah. I thought the rumor was you could drive as fast as you want during the daytime. As soon as sunset time hits, they have literally what they call nighttime speed limits.
Oh, it's harder to see at night. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so they've been making you slow down to that specific speed of whatever it was.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Speaking of Montana, apparently they are cracking down on tax dodging practices by citizens. So specifically, registering a new car in Montana has a loophole that allows owners to avoid paying sales tax. The state has the highest number of registered cars per person in the United States. A new Utah law is aimed at cracking down on those who are using the Montana loophole to dodge paying taxes now.
They don't have to pay, say that again.
They don't have to pay sales taxes on buying new cars over
there. If they buy them in Montana. So yes. People are going over there, buying them and driving away?
Yeah, they're registering under Montana plate licenses, so they don't have to pay the extra sales tax on there. So that's how they're trying to loophole it. And so
who's cracking down on that?
Utah specifically. I believe California and Utah and California are the ones that are cracking down on this.
How many people are going all the way from California to Montana to buy a car?
I'm going to go take a look here because they actually had
they're buying them, they're registering there and having them shipped to them.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see. It says here that Montana Motor Vehicle Division reported that 11,000 registrations of everything from Aston Martin to Bugatti, McLaren, and even Pagani, I think is how you pronounce it.
Uh-huh.
Almost half of the registrations were for Ferraris, they said.
Oh, yeah. So that's those cars, yes. They're losing a lot of tax dollars on those. But they're not the main. I was going to say most people don't, but that makes sense. First off, those cars are extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could say the sales tax, 8% on a car that costs $200,000 is a chunk of change, right?
According to Utah Governor Spencer Cox, they said they are missing out at over $100 million in back taxes and penalties for these vehicles.
Yeah, over how many years, though?
That's true, too. I don't think he mentions that part. No, he just says in generality, I think. But it's still, that's a huge chunk of change that your state could be getting, and that can go to different things for sure.
A lot of sales tax on cars and stuff, sometimes some of it is slated for fixing the roadways and everything else, kind of like a gas tax.
True, true.
Yeah, same thing with gas tax.
Last two stories I have. Are you familiar with Ed Pink by any chance?
Not really.
He is an engine builder. He is a legendary racing engine builder.
Yeah,
engine,
no, I know.
Old master. Yeah, he passed away at the age of 94. His last engine he built was at 92 years old still. So
wow,
that was pretty good. Notable for his drag racing V8s, He also built motors for NASCAR, Can-Am, and IndyCar. He was even the consultant senior turned to for tuning the Porsche Flat 6 as well.
Oh, wow.
So, very, very cool. Of course, a legendary guy in the automotive industry, too, and racing industry. So definitely look into him because he's quite interesting. And our hearts and prayers go out to his family. And lastly, to mention, Michelin is making...
He had a good dang run, though, like his motors.
Oh, yes, for sure. That's for sure. Last car news I have. Michelin is making moonspec wheels so that they could go ahead and go to... But
they can go to the moon?
Exactly, yeah. Michelin has developed what looks like a tire that is actually a wheel that's capable for surviving the moon's harshest environment.
Wild-looking wheels. They're going to probably sell those to people that take a moon lander.
Exactly, yeah. The wild-looking wheels will be used on a lunar rover. And they said that the development process of the brand's unusual moonspec wheels will be coming out in more details soon. So these are really, really interesting wheel designs, to say the least. They're blue. It's just very strange. It doesn't look like a wheel to me. It looks like
something that goes to the moon.
It does. If you guys want to look it up again, look up something around the lines of like Michelin's moonspec tires, probably. So that's how you can find out more information. So that's all the car news I have. As you can see, interesting and very, very busy. That's for sure.
There you go. Yeah. Lots going on. And we got some other stuff going on. Mercedes has got 2026. It's got a new AMG GT63 APX GP edition.
Can you say that one more time? Just the whole thing.
AMG GT63 APX GP edition.
I was actually thinking you were going to mess up, but no, you got that right.
Super sports car there, man. Good stuff. Yeah, everybody should run out and buy one of those. And if you do, buy it. Where is that, Montana? You don't have to pay tax on it.
Yeah.
There you go. Because that is not going to be a cheap car. I don't know how much they want for that thing, but I bet it's at least $250,000 per car. So if you got an extra $250,000, you could run out and buy one of those. There was a company named Slate that built an electric truck that only cost $27,000. Are you familiar with this?
No, but I'm going to look these
interesting. Up. Interesting. The headline-grabbing price tag... Everyone's been talking about a Slate's $27,000 figure for its upcoming all-electric truck. Yes, that means with the federal EV tax credit, this new vehicle, forget EV, forget truck, forget SUV, a brand new vehicle in America could cost as little as $20,000 or so. There are only a few cars available for so little, let alone anything truck-shaped that can be converted to an SUV shape or electric or all three.
It looks ugly. It really, really looks ugly.
It's a box.
It's
very square.
It's not as ugly as a Cybertruck, but it's the second ugliest car I've ever seen.
Well, it works better as a truck, though, if you look at the bed and stuff like that. I mean, it actually is a truck.
I'm skeptical. I don't want it. It's ugly. I'm fine. No,
it's a gray truck with one universal feature set, the sole exception. Buyers will be able to choose between two NMC battery packs or 80. Those are total energy stats. Usable has yet to be divulged.
You stated at the very beginning they're banking on the current $7,500 federal EV tax credit. But isn't that
car is so generic though. If you look at this thing,
yeah,
and they have an SUV they're going to come out with too, but the car is very interesting how it I mean, it's basic. It's definitely, the doors are manual, our windows are manual roll up and down in it. Not much for frills. But you know what? I mean, if you needed a quick little work truck, electric, or in town, I guess that would work for you, huh?
I guess. But again, I bet they're going to get rid of that $7,500 tax credit in a heartbeat next year.
Probably.
They only did it this year because we couldn't do an executive order to get rid of it for this year. It was underneath the Biden administration that they allowed this. So, and I know Trump's administration has been highly, highly against EVs.
EVs. They're against shoving them down your throat.
Exactly. They wanted to leave it as a state decision for that matter. So
that's a great idea. All good stuff. All right, folks. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take our last break here as you're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 and 96.1 FM in North County. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back. Hey, those moon wheels are super cool. No air in them. You didn't hear me, did you?
No, I got disconnected on my headphones for some reason.
I said those moon wheels are super cool looking.
They are, but
there's no air in them. You know that, right?
Yeah. Which makes sense. I mean, yeah, well, our air on Earth is going to be so much different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could put nitrogen in them, but no, these are just bands that go through and super cool.
I also looked up the Slate's trucks range, so now I can see why it's so cheap.
What's the range? 240?
150 miles.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Now, they do say that they're going to be making accessories to their battery to make it go as far as 240 miles per hour. Or not miles per hour, sorry. 240 miles range. It does state as well that if your battery is at 20%, if you have a level 1 charger, it's going to take 11 hours to charge fully. If you have a level 2 charger, it'll take 5 hours. And then DC fast charging at 20% will take less than 30 minutes, they said. Still a long time to charge a vehicle, in my opinion. But, you know, a lot of vehicles are that way. You're going to stand in a parking lot and just hope that you're the next person in line a lot of the time. So.
Yep. One of those things.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I was just reading a thing that the Chevy pickup truck is the fastest charging truck when it comes to EVs. So they rated them all. I didn't know they did a charging test thing, but that's what they do now, I guess. So.
I'm not surprised. Toyota does a pretty good job on their vehicles and technology for that matter as well. So I'm very impressed with that.
Gotcha.
Just very quickly, I'm going to shout out just three car shows that are somewhat local
here. Shout them out.
Very quickly, up in Huntington Beach, they're having the Overdrive Car Show at Ocean View High School in Huntington Beach. That's going to be today from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The proceeds there are going to be benefiting the OV Athletics, so Ocean View Athletics Department over there. So head over there for a good reason and really cool cars. Another one I want to shout out is tomorrow. Bodie had to call in one more time just to remind me that this is the second or third best car show of Southern California. It is in Coronado. It's Motor Cars of Main Street. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m. Online registration is completely closed. So if you want to register your vehicle, you have to do it in person. But there's going to be music, food, classics, rods, custom cars, trucks, lowriders, anything 1980 or older, and restored vehicle antiques as well. They're all going to be there. So really, really cool cars. Last one to mention is in the city of Temecula. It's the 2025 Temecula Rod Run. Yesterday they had their cruise night. Tonight they're doing their show and shine, or today I should say.
Very cool.
And that's going to be from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. today. So over 500 pristine vehicles will be shown over there. So
nice.
Definitely take a look at that.
Nice.
I got my eye on those T-Birds there. I like T-Birds. Pretty nice.
There you go. So I was just checking out, you know, some of this cool stuff for cars they come up with. The Roof Nest launches new Condor 2 XXL. You know what that is?
No.
You don't know what a roof nest is?
A roof nest.
A roof nest is a tent that's mounted on top of your vehicle, like for a Jeep.
Okay.
And then it's hard shell and it pops open and then it pops out. This thing has, it says 51 square feet of mattress space inside of it. Can accommodate 4 sleepers in that bad boy. It's a big old tent, man.
It sure is. and it's not that bad of a price. I'm looking at like
$4,395.
Yeah.
Not that bad of a price for a tent on top of your car.
It could, look again. First off, what kind of market are you trying to go for with this?
No, people will buy it. I'm guaranteeing you that.
Yeah.
Another nifty feature is the skylight, which could be great for additional interior lighting and stargazing should you you leave it unzipped. If it rains while it's unzipped, you're going to get wet, though.
True. By the way, those in Northern America, I'm very jealous of you guys because you enjoyed the Aurora Borealis last night.
Oh, did they?
Yep. I saw how far it was reaching, and I'm like, gosh. You know, there are some negatives living in San Diego a little bit, and that's one of them. I want to see that, like, in person really badly.
Northern Lights.
They're so beautiful, I bet.
Yeah, you never made it up. Well, just take a trip to Alaska at the right time.
I might have to. I've
seen them before. They're super cool. Super cool, super cool. So you should go do that, Brendan. I think that's your next trip. You can take little Russie with you.
I think I
He'd love the lights in the sky.
Oh, he would adore. I think he would have the best time with it for sure.
There you go, without question. All right, do you want to remind folks today we're talking, what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking
about, sidetracked me.
Well, today we're talking about if we should fix your vehicle or trade it in.
That's right. We were talking about that. What should you do? My thought is if you drive, so here's the point with this. And the main key to this is taking good care of your car without question. If you drive your vehicle over 2,000 miles or more, there's a gamut of different makes and models, including like the Honda Civic goes a long way. Lexus LS400 back then went a long way. Ford Ranger can get 500,000 miles out of them back in the day. We'll see. I'm pretty sure you can still do the same. All of these people, though, have one thing in common with their cars. They took really good care of them. But if you maintain your car regularly over a 15-year period, and don't buy a new car, you buy a new car every 15 years roughly, you can save over $250,000 in a lifetime. That's a chunk of change, right, Brendan?
Right.
That's a house.
It's true.
Not here in San Diego, but no. You know, that's apartment rent here in San Diego. but by doing so, and that was the main thing about the show today that we were talking about. If you take care of your vehicle, yes, does it cost to take care of? Yes, but it's way cheaper than replacing it every, 3 to 5 years, which some people do, right?
Right.
So how often do you buy a new car, Brendan?
So for me personally, again, and I want to point out that it's not a brand new car. It's still a used car.
Gently used.
Gently used, exactly. It's been about, I want to say, a 4-year gap. So this one this is the longest car I've owned in a while. This is 5 years right now since I bought it back in 2020 during the COVID times.
Uh-huh.
So with that in mind, I say that you can at least get at least 10 years on your vehicle, probably, if you can push it that far. But
you can get 10 to 15 years easily if you take good care of your vehicle and you buy the right vehicle. Some vehicles are junk. They won't last that long. I'll give that to you.
Right.
So,
like I'm noticing online here, some people are bragging about like, oh, I've had my car for 20 or 25 years and I take really good care of it, which is fine. There's some vehicles that do that for sure. I mean,
I meet people that have vehicles for 20 plus years, but they don't drive very far.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, it all comes down to how much you use the car too, right? So exactly. If you use the vehicle like a regular vehicle and you're an average person that puts 15 to 18,000 miles a year on the car, 20 years is a bit of time, but it's all good. It's all good. That's about right though. If you're putting, let's say you put 20,000 miles on a car.
Okay.
A year.
Sure.
So 5 years is 100,000 miles. 10 years is 200,000. 15 years is 300,000. So there you go. There's some good mileage that you put on your car. And most cars will last 300,000 miles if you take good care of them. Almost all of them last 200,000 because 200,000 is a new 100,000, right?
Right.
So 100,000 is barely broke in. That's what we say.
The other thing to keep in mind too is, a lot of people have very personal attachments to these vehicles,
Well, it depends on where they come from. You're right.
Exactly. Yeah. I work with people on Sundays who actually name their cars, like their driving cars that they do. Like, oh, this is Patty, and she's been with me since yada yada, and so on and so forth.
You met somebody with a car named Patty?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
I'm dead serious. Someone named their car Patty. I don't know why.
Dead serious?
Yeah. But there's plenty of people that'll name their cars all sorts of wonky things.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of personal attachment that people will have with vehicles too. That'll make it very hard to decide, gosh, do I have to get rid of this car now? I mean, I've had this memory in here and this memory. Like when I have to get rid of that Rogue, at some point down the road. it's going to be hard because, wow, this was where Russell was in this in the vehicle for the first time ever, and now I got a
little rusty.
Yeah, I know. So, it, but so it's,
you're, it's nostalgic, is exactly, what you're saying. Yeah. You love the car because Rusty rode in it from the hospital home.
Yeah, the first new vehicle my family ever bought, ever, that includes my parents, was a 1997 Plymouth Voyager. They bought it just before my a week. A
mommy van.
Yeah, she bought it just a week before my sister was born.
Oh.
So getting rid of that vehicle definitely hurt my mom quite a bit, for sure. But
is it gone?
It's gone for sure. Yeah, it's scrapped.
Yeah, it probably had too many miles on it.
Oh, I think it had nearly 300,000. So
it made a long way.
It definitely did.
300,000 and 9 transmissions. Those vans drop trannies like crazy.
You're not kidding. You're definitely not
kidding. No, in the 90s, man, I'll tell you what, we were Dodge Caravans, because Dodge Caravans actually came out in the 80s. It was the first minivan.
Was it
here, like, in the States?
Was it late 80s?
84.
Oh, okay.
83, 84. My dad had one of the first ones. It was a 4-cylinder.
Yeah.
Stick shift. It was manual. I swear to God, I'm not kidding.
No, I believe it.
He ordered it and he wanted that van. It was cool little vans. I mean, they were the start of the trend for the minivan here in the U.S.
It's true. And look at where the minivan is now. I mean,
there's lots of them.
Yeah. And they're very, very popular these days, for sure, in terms of,
well, yeah, especially if you, you know, have a bunch of kids or whatever. I'm not a big fan of driving one, so I'll stick to my pickup truck, but
exactly.
But I mean, if you have a need for one, they work well. They also, the small minivans make good little wheelchair vans. If you have somebody that's in a wheelchair, you know, required, you can put little wheelchair lifts on them and stuff.
Yeah,
so they work well for that, instead of having to have a big van, you know. So all good stuff.
So I want to say, one of the things I do appreciate the most is the honesty that comes out of your stores. So, for example, like they'll be straight up and honest with you about certain repairs. Oh, this is going to cost you quite a bit of money, like shocks, for example.
Do you need shocks?
Not yet. They said it's somewhat up there, but not as bad as some other things.
How many miles are on your car?
We're getting close. We're at the 90,000 mark.
Okay, so you're heading up towards 100,000. Usually by 100,000, struts are starting to go south.
Yeah, struts and shocks. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about a previous.
You'd be surprised how well the car rides at 100,000 miles when you put new shocks and struts on. You think you got a new car?
It's true. I will eventually do it. Yeah. I'll just do it in like a few or a couple oil changes from down the road.
Sure.
For now.
Sure.
But what I was trying to get at was the fact that your shop is so honest that, like, they'll say, like, listen, this is going to cost you a lot of money, as much as the car is, for sure. So it depends on how you want to work it from there. Do you want to continue to spend money and continue on with this, or know that, okay.
Now, shocks and struts don't cost what it does to replace a car.
No, I bought a cheap car prior to this, if you remember.
So what you were saying back then, they were like, it's going to get expensive, and this car may not be worth it.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. I see.
Yeah. So for that reason, I want to say thank you so much for your guys, and shout out to your store for doing that, because honesty is the best policy.
Oh, absolutely. And so we tell people that all the time. Like, you know, and the other thing that I'll tell sometimes, if it's an expensive repair, but the car's still worth it in far as, you know, the rest of the car's in decent shape, and you plan on driving it for another, you know, 3 years or 4 years or whatever, you can get that out of it, then sometimes it's worth to spend the money, because that's a better money spent than it is to go buy another brand new car,
or
another used car, which still, buying a used car is expensive as heck anyway, still.
Yeah, and don't get started on the tariff situation right now, so that's going to change things too.
That shouldn't change the price of used cars.
No, though. New cars.
Yeah, correct. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it shouldn't, but, you know, they might start just raising prices. But what'll drive the market up on those and make them more expensive is because nobody's buying new cars because of the tariffs,
yep.
Or at least those cars that are made outside the U.S. But it drives up because the demand for used cars then goes up. Now that the cost goes up on them because the demand goes up.
I will say that they did say that new car sales are still doing pretty good, surprisingly enough, because they're trying to buy it before the tariffs hit on those vehicles.
I was going to say, well, in the cars that are already here before the tariffs, those shouldn't have any tariff money put on them.
It's true. It's true. So.
So therefore, it should be all good and stuff. All right. Everybody, thanks for joining. Quick hour, man. Everybody out there, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. We do appreciate you joining us here every Saturday morning, as we love talking cars. If you ever have any questions, you can always email me at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. Have a safe weekend. Be good. Like I said, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. Till next Saturday, this has been Auto Talk Radio.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com. And click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.